We've been talking about thanksgiving. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we quoted it this morning. It says, in everything, give thanks, for it's the will of God concerning you. You want to know what God's will is for your life? And when we say that, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? You know, who am I supposed to be with? All of those things. I may not be able to tell you all of that, but I can tell you this. It's God's will for you to give thanks.
Yes, come on.
And to give thanks, right? It's with a grateful heart.
Yes.
You know, you can give thanks and not have any gratitude in you at all. Thanks a lot. Hello? Or again, and we've talked about this before, or if it's really coming from the depths of your heart, you know that the person who gave it to you didn't have to give it to you. They didn't have to be a part of it, but they wanted to bless you. And sometimes it's not the amount or the enormity of the gift. It's just that they're thinking of me. I'll give you one story like that. And turn to Ephesians chapter 1. But there was a man that I knew, and he called this other brother, and he said, and he'd only met this guy a few times, but he called him and he said, listen, God told me to call you today. And the guy at the other end of the phone just said this. He just said, you don't have to say another word. God told you to call me, and that's what I needed to hear. I thank God that you picked up the phone and called me, because I was wondering whether God was even listening to me anymore. Is that a big deal? It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal, right? And so it's important that we thank God for who He is, but we also need to thank God for each other. I want to talk to you this morning about thanking God for people.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody that God has put in your life, you ought to give thanks for.
Yes.
Even those that rub you just a little bit wrong.
Amen.
Even those that push you a little bit.
Amen.
But let's read a verse, and then I'll comment some more on it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. Well, I'll start in 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Yeah.
We often pray for people, but how often do we give thanks for people? God, thank you for putting them in my life. Thank you for putting them in my life. Thank you, Lord, for putting them in. And over, we're going to see throughout the New Testament, Paul, when he's praying for people, I want to thank God for you. I want to thank God for you. How much time do we concentrate on thanking God for a person? Because that takes some work. If we're really going to thank God for somebody, or we're going to be thankful for them, we have to find something to be thankful for. And especially those who may be irritating to us, those who've disappointed us, those who maybe aren't doing exactly what we think they should be doing. They could be our children, they could be our friends, they could be our pastor, they could be somebody in the church. But God wants us to constantly be thanking Him for them no matter what. I have a friend, his name is Norman. I worked in the shipyard with him. I was supervisor, and Norm was my right-hand guy. And Norm irritated the fire out of me. And I'll tell you why. Is because I would want to do something, and he would say, Bruce, this regulation says such and such and this and thus, and you have to do such and such to get such, and you know. And we were working in an environment where subsafe and nuclear stuff, it was, you had to be toward the book, but I was more of a cowboy. Just get the thing done. That doesn't make sense. Let's just do it. But Norm would always be, well, this regulation says, and this is what this manual says, and this is what, and you know, he got me out of a lot of trouble because he was what I wasn't. And what he was irritated me because I wasn't. But I'm thankful that he wasn't what I was.
Right.
Are you getting what I'm saying? So even some of those people that you go, why does she talk to me that way? Or why doesn't she think like I think? Or why doesn't he do what I want him to do? Or how come the boy just can't? And I think it's up to us to say, wait a minute, God. Just wait a minute. I want my heart to be thankful for them. So I'm going to try to dig out of them what God has put in them. Because they're in my life for purpose. Are you with me? I want to thank God for people. I'll just tell you, Renita's on the back, and so I can't say anything, you know, real funny about her. But watch this. I was doing a series on marriage. This was years ago. Some of you will remember it. But it was like an 18-week marriage, and I was really getting on the guys about being a good husband, and that was all good. But so I decided, listen, Lord, it's the ladies' turn Sunday. Right? I get to get onto the ladies this Sunday, right? And so the Lord, and if you're going to talk about women and marriage and everything, Proverbs 31, that Proverbs 31 woman. I thought, oh, ladies, there must be a source of gold. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to sell everything that I have. I'm going to buy a donkey and a pickaxe, and I'm going to go up the mountain till I can find the source, and I'm going to go into the cave and dig for the vein of gold. A virtuous woman, this is what the Lord spoke to me, who can dig out? And so it looked for me from a different perspective. If I want to get out of my wife the gold that's in her, I need to be appreciative of the differences that are between us, because the differences are the actual source of the gold and what God has given her for me. For that's the purpose. So what am I saying? I'm saying that's the truth with everybody in your life. So when you're thankful for somebody, even though they irritate the fire out of you, and especially when they don't think like you. You know people, they don't think like you. And sometimes it's like, I wish they'd start thinking right. It could just be that they have a picture or a piece of the puzzle that God wants you in that you can't discern by yourself. But if you're not thankful for them, you'll dismiss them and never receive what God has for them. Paul said here, man, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So your prayer list, pray for Joe for his toe and pray for Mary for her, you know, arthritis, and pray for, that's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think there's another side to it that we're not getting involved with that we should. Right? I thank God for whoever. And you start naming reasons why you're thankful for them. See, the Bible says that the love of God, talking in 1 Corinthians 13, there's a portion in there that, especially in the Amplified Version, it says that love believes the best of every person. That's an incredible statement. Believe the best of every person. What does that mean? That means that there's good in everybody. And your love, if you'll look for it, you can find it. And not only this, for me, it's like anybody that walks through the door, I don't care what situation they're in, how far gone, how far out they are, the love of God speaks to me that they can be redeemed and brought.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have to become thankful for them even in their condition, when their condition is a pain in my rear.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you about a couple of people, and I hope this relates to you, but I never cease giving thanks for you. Why? Because it's the reason that I'm here. I was speaking not too long ago with a bunch of pastors, and I had the privilege of opening a session. One of the things I said, anybody in here have people problems? Pastors, well, of course. Well, I said, that's the reason you're a pastor. No, that's the reason that we exist. Is so that we can be used by God to help people. Right? But if I'm looking at people from the lens of that they're an irritant or a problem, I can't be used by God to help them. So even those people that are on the other side of the fence, and especially at this time, we won! Ask God to give you a heart for the people that are on the other side of the fence so that God can use you to reach them for Him. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all of my family. I'm thankful for those that are for me, and I'm even thankful for those that are against me. Right? And so what I'm saying today, and what I want to get inside of you as we come up to Thanksgiving in a few weeks, I don't know, a week and a half, 10 days, whatever, that we start to look around the table and go, Lord, I want to give thanksgiving for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I really want to be thankful that they're here and that they're in my life, even if they're not giving me everything that I want, even if they're using me in a way that's not correct. Aren't you glad that Paul was giving thanks to these people who some of them probably didn't treat him exactly right when he was there?
Yeah.
We need to have a heart of thanksgiving for people. We're going to look at a couple of things. Watch this now. In verse 16 again, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention in any of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him. Think about this. Paul could have had, I'm the apostle. I'm the one that was sent to the Gentiles. Bless God. I'm the man. So if you need anything from God, you need to come to me. Know anybody like that? Don't mention their name. But what? You need to come to me. Paul said, no. I thank God for you. I make mention of you in my prayer. I want you to know God. I'm thanking you because you came to Jesus, but I want you to go beyond that. I want you to know God. Isn't that cool? That's so good. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Another prayer to another church. Now, when we say he was praying for the church at Colossae, right? But he wasn't praying to a church building. He wasn't praying to the place where they met. He was praying to people, about people, for people. This church, a new beginning, isn't this building. It's us. It's you when you come in and you say hello to me and I say hello to you, and God puts you on my heart at times to pray for. I'm praying for you. I need to have an attitude of understanding the worth and the value of you when I'm praying for you. Or else I could be praying for you from a standpoint of superiority. Oh, if they only got like I am, then they would be better off than they are now.
Yeah.
How stupid is that? I'm only where I am because of the grace of God.
That's right, yeah.
I can only do what I can do because God has gifted me to do it. He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. So I need to look at you in the same light, in the same vein. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you all always. We thank God for you. We're praying for you always. Why? And what for? So because of your, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. What was he saying? He was saying, we thank God for you because we know what's in your future. We know what you're doing now, and we know what's in your future. Think about that for just a minute. Man, I'm so grateful for you. I might not have seen you for a year. I might not have seen you for 10 years. Lila and I were talking about, because we've been together in this church for 30 years, and we were talking about different phases. And when you talk about different phases, you talk about different people that have come and gone, and you know, some are in heaven, some have just gone on to other things. But when you think about that, it's like, no, Lord, they were people that you put in our lives for a purpose. And so I'm thankful, not just for those who spoke well of us, but maybe some of those who didn't do us correctly, because you were with us. But here's what I'm saying. All right, just from this standpoint, there are many, 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 hundreds of children and youth that have been through this church, been in the classrooms, heard teaching, seen the move of God. Many, 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 many. And if I think about them, I think about, where are they now? And if I let my mind go, you know, what did we do wrong? And what we need to do is go back to the fact that, wait a minute, the Word of God will not return void. It'll go forth and accomplish. So I'm thankful that the same Spirit of God that touched them then is with them now. And I have the thought in the heart that they will do what God wants them to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is faithful. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful not only for where they are now, but where God is taking them. Verse 6 says, which has come to you, it's talking about the gospel, as to all the world, and is bringing forth fruit also among you since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in truth. I thank God for you, but I thank God for the grace of God that's over your life, that's bringing truth, but not only truth, that fruit is being produced in you because of what God is doing in you. So looking at people, you can look at them, well, they did this and they didn't do that and they didn't do this, and if they'd only get this straight. I get that, and I'm not telling you that you deny that, but there needs to be something in your heart that's bigger than all of their problems, and you're looking at the grace of God and say, God, I see them through your grace. I see them not just as they are right now, but I see the potential that is in them, Lord. And I'm declaring that the work that you started in them, you're going to see it through to completion. Look at this. Verse 7, as you also learned from Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful minister of Christ Jesus on your behalf, who declared to us your love in the Spirit. If the church as a whole and the body of Christ would begin to be thankful for those who don't necessarily agree with them necessarily on all the doctrinal issues, but know that there's fruit coming out of their ministries, they'd quit complaining and comparing to one another, but begin to be thankful for that person. I might not agree with so-and-so or sister so-and-so or whatever, but do you know 7 people got saved in their services last week? Right? Or 100 people got filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't like what they're saying, but necessarily I may not be completely right. I thank God. Paul said it this way. He said, man, there's contention among you. And there's even people that are preaching out of envy. And there's people that are preaching with the wrong spirit. He said, but I thank God that the gospel is being preached. Thankful. I need to be thankful for you. You need to be thankful for me. Yeah. Glory to God. We need to be thankful for each other. Not because I'm pastor and you're this or you're, but the grace of God that resides on the inside of us and through us. Go to 2 Thessalonica. Thank you. 2 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I am believing God for His glory to be stronger on us than it's ever been in the past. I'm praying that God would just fill us with His Spirit so much that people are affected by us just walking around. You know, there was a place where Peter just walked by somebody and his shadow, they'd be healed just walking by. Well, Peter wasn't any more special than you and I. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelled in him, but it dwells in us also. I'm thankful for Peter, but I'm also thankful for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God for you always, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because from the beginning you chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. But I like that. The first it says, but we are bound. We are bound. We are bound. There's something inside of us that says we need to thank God for you. If the love of God is inside of you and you look at somebody, maybe that you're not getting along with, whatever, but if the love of God constrains you, then you're bound to give thanks for them. Right? Hallelujah. And I'm not saying you give thanks for everything that they're doing. I'm not saying you give thanks for their attitude. I'm not thanking for them messing you over. I'm not saying that, but Lord, I'm just looking at the potential in them. Yes. And God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to have them in my life. Yeah. We've been pastoring for many, many years. And there are some people that for a while, at the beginning of our ministry, it seemed like God always had this one particular person in our lives that was challenging. Let's just put it that way. And none of you know this particular fellow, but his name was Rich. And Rich was, well, I'm just going to say this. He was brilliant, but he was crazy. I say that in the most loving terms. He was nuts. But every Sunday after church, he'd come up to me and try to dominate my conversation for 5 or 10 minutes. And I was just, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. But you know what? God used Rich to teach me how to love people. Right? And I'm so thankful for Rich. I'm so thankful for Rich. There's so many others that I'm just grateful for and thankful for, even though they were not necessarily my cup of tea. But I saw the potential of the gospel in them. Okay, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll start out in verse 2. Are you getting something this morning?
Amen.
Come on. Who do you have to be thankful for? I'm telling you, everybody. I'm telling you, everybody. But you need to see them through the eyes of grace. You know who grace is for? Everybody.
Yeah.
God so loved the world. That means everybody. He wishes that everybody would be saved. So good. Verse 2 says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. There it is again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power, that in the Holy Spirit, that in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. I thank God for you because you heard the word and you put the word into action, and because you're going out and you're speaking to somebody else, I don't have to. I thank God for God's ministry that He's given to you. Thanking God for you. Thanking God for you. Thanking God for you. I want to go, we're going to skip some of these verses. And this one I didn't put down, but I want to hit on this really important. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I hope this helps somebody like it's helped me. Verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. You know what that means? That we're supposed to love like Jesus loved. You know how Jesus loved? He gave himself when he didn't need to. He laid his life down for me, and I didn't deserve it. He laid his life down for those who don't even come to him or don't even want anything to do with him. He came to be abused. He came to be messed over. He came to be spit upon. He came to be crucified. He came to be whipped. We're supposed to be imitators of God. In other words, I don't like this, Lord, but I thank you for the opportunity to walk in your love no matter what they're doing or saying or act, how they're acting. I choose to love and be an imitator of your Spirit. Now watch this. Verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. I think that we could help ourselves greatly, and especially when you get angry and there are things that might come out of your mouth that are not fitting, if we'd learn to give thanks instead. Giving thanks, not for the situation, not always because what's going on is right, but I'm thanking God because He is in me and I'm in Him. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Do you ever just thank God that you woke up? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I may not be able to get to a place as fast as I used to because my legs aren't working the way that they used to work, but I thank God that I can move. And that I can move to be a blessing to somebody else. I thank God in advance, Lord, for the people that you're going to bring into my life today, because my whole purpose for existing is for you to use me to show your love and your glory to somebody else. So in advance, Lord, I thank you for the opportunities today that you're going to put before me. Use me today. But Lord, when my mouth wants to run ahead of where my heart is because of the hurt that's been done unto me, I'm going to put thanksgiving in my heart so that that doesn't come out. I just love that. It talks about don't do any of this stuff. Don't let words come out of your mouth. Don't let your thoughts go to certain places. Don't let anger and bitterness and strife and all of that be born in you. The way that you can counteract that is learn to become thankful. 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 When I first got saved, and the people that I hung around was, thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And people on the outside just thought it was weird. Let me give you this example. I've given this many times, but it just is fitting. And I actually saw the young man that did this a few years ago. He didn't even remember doing it. But Kevin, we were at Bible studies, and this man came. It was a father of one of the men that were coming to the Bible studies, and we had testimony time. It was usually praise and worship testimony, and it was like, I want to thank God for this, and I want to thank God for this, and I want to thank, you know, that type of thing. And Kevin got up, I want to thank God that my car broke down today. Thank you, Jesus, my car broke down today. And this man's dad got upset. Wait a minute. Stop. Hold it. I mean, I've heard thank Jesus for, you know, doing this and thank Jesus for, you know, getting me work. I've heard all that, but what you thank Jesus that your car broke down. That's way too much for me. I don't understand that. And so Kevin turned to him and said, well, I want to thank Jesus that my car broke down because the same Jesus that provided this car is going to provide another car. And even when it broke down, God brought people to help me out and so on and so forth. But I thank Jesus. You see, the attitude of gratitude will affect those that are around you. So even those that are irritating you, if you begin thankful and put thanksgiving in your mouth, it will change the atmosphere.
Yes.
That man who was going, what is going on? He got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and walked with Jesus and went to heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Because Kevin said, I want to thank Jesus for my car breaking down. So I just suggest to you that not only do you thank God for who He is, but you begin to thank God for who others are. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Thank you. When they come to your mind and you want to pray for them, or maybe you want to say something that's not pleasant about them, stop your mouth and put thanksgiving in it. You get something this morning? Come on. Is this something that can help you? I hope thanksgiving will make a difference for you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for the ministry of your Spirit in this room in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus, that you're here with us. I thank you, Lord, that we pray for one another. We're your hands, we're your feet, we're your voice. And God, that you work through us to do exactly what you would have done if you were here physically in Jesus' name. I thank you for your Spirit operating in us in the name of Jesus. Father, if there's anybody watching online who doesn't know you, speak to their heart. And if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, just open up your heart, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is who the Bible says He is. He's your Messiah. He's the one that took your sins and said, I need to be forgiven. So I receive Jesus as my Savior in Jesus' name. If you did that, your life and eternity has changed. Let somebody know about it. Call us. We'd love to hear from you. But God bless all of those that are watching online. Lord, touch them. Meet all of their needs. We thank you for your grace in this place in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to close here.